Thank you for that testimony and that word, Butch. If Butchie stayed here another 10 minutes, then I wouldn't have had to preach, because it's quite in line with what I believe is on God's heart for us this morning. Where's my sermon? Don't laugh. It was here for the first service, so it can't be anywhere else. I didn't like that message, updating Microsoft 365. Please be patient. But it's we've been making our way through the Sermon on the Mount, Pastor Andres and myself, and every now and then we've taken a break, and then there's something going on in church, like Relationship Month, or next Sunday we're going to have Activate Sunday, and we're going to talk about being part of God's house, His body. But you know the great thing about preaching through the Bible, verse by verse, is you really heal the church of the pastor's preferences. You know, we all have these rabbit trails in the Bible that we love, and we have these anchors that we tend to go towards when we minister, when we see a problem, we funnel it towards the way we understand. But if you go through the Bible verse by verse, as pastors, we have to step away from our preferences and just preach the word, and that's what we've been doing. And I think it's had an effect on us. It's a good effect, amen? Just going through God's word verse by verse for the Sermon on the Mount. Before I head on, just an important announcement. I just want to quickly pitch for us. Is the men's ministry for this quarter is we're going to be focusing on growing in the spiritual disciplines, the word and prayer, for 6 weeks, same time as last quarter, 5:30 to 6:30 on a Tuesday morning. So we'll be done before the October holidays. Just take a note, starting Tuesday, August the 5th. It's going to take a D6 format. We're going to be hitting the word book by book for a week, but we're going to add a prayer element to it, growing in the spiritual disciplines. The heart is really for us as men to grow in them in order that we can lead our homes and our community well. And we will lock open and have tables for all the ladies that also enjoys D6, because they always seem to surprise as they come in here. So we'll pack out, we will be sharing the same space. So you're also welcome, all of those ladies that runs with D6 in the early mornings. Those medical women, they pack the early mornings. You guys are welcome, okay? From the secret place to the streets, Matthew 6, verse 1 to 8. Let's read together. Thanks for updating Microsoft 365. You are now done. Well, this morning we had some problems with the media just before church started. Everything was down, so it's starting to come online bit by bit. So let's read together. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. And we just prayed on pride. So let's continue. Amen. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and that your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Let's dig into this a bit. At the end of this morning, I'm going to land for us with three challenges that I believe the Holy Spirit is leading us to from this text. Matthew 6, I just want to have verse 1 and 5 there on the screen. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen. So this is part of the glitch we had. We lost some stuff, so this was not meant to be so small up here. It's quite big on my computer. At the back, it's not Hebrew. It is English. It's just very small. So just hang on, okay? Verse 1 says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Okay, practicing your righteousness. But then also, when it comes to your spirituality, verse 5 says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in places where they can be seen by others. So it's practicing your righteousness. That has to do with the deeds of the believer, giving, caring. If you beware of practicing those in a way in order to be seen by others, and also your spiritual disciplines, praying, beware of praying in order to be seen by others. And then we'll get to the Lord's Prayer, which we won't touch this morning. It's the next verse where I stop. But then it goes to fasting, and it says the same thing. Beware of fasting in order to be seen by others. That's why it says when you fast, like wash your face, do your makeup, try and come out of your home the way you normally do, because you are fasting before the face of the Lord, not before the face of people, okay? It's a big theme here. And now let's unpack it a little bit. Now when the scripture says here, they like to pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, it speaks to us. Now sometimes when Jesus climbs into the Pharisees, we say, yeah, lekker jelle. But the problem is some of those things are applicable to us also. That's the problem. You see, no one likes hypocrisy. And we're quite good at spotting it, except where? In our own lives. We are quite blind to our own hypocrisy, and I'm very aware of it this morning as I'm preaching. And I'm praying for a lot of grace, because this message is still working on believers today, and it works very deep, as you'll see this morning. This is a very challenging piece of scripture, but it is extremely liberating if you give yourself to the process. So gear up. The synagogues would be likened to the church. And you know, the street corners are probably not referring to someone that's shouting on the streets. We've seen street evangelists, nothing wrong with it. But it's probably not referring to that. Back then, people walked everywhere they went. And so today, if you live in Fool Club, you can join a small group in Onrus. You just get in your car. Now for Hermanus people, okay, Fool Club to Onrus is like driving to Joburg, okay? But for us, I mean, I come from Mpumalanga at least for 8 years, Vasi Gautengers. Who of you guys have laughed at these Hermanus people saying Fool Club to Onrus is far? I mean, it's just there, okay? Okay, but in those times, it would be far to quickly walk for a small group or a dinner, because it is not on your street. And so if a community were to meet, where would they meet? Where the two streets crossed. The people from this street and the people of that street meet in the middle, and they could see one another and they could share in the community. And so what Jesus is saying, do not be like the hypocrites that organizes their spirituality in such a way that when the community gathers in a big way, they are seen practicing their faith. And when they gather in smaller ways, they are seen practicing their faith. Now watch out. Don't draw conclusions too fast. You always hang a hanger on both sides. And so this is the one side. I hung no skiff. Here's a question we need to ask ourselves this morning. Is it okay to be seen when you pray? You should say yes. Otherwise, you cannot pray for someone else. It's a problem. Well, let's read that following scripture. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Okay? That speaks about prayer that takes place in the face of another person or in a community. Are you with me? In Psalm 35, I will thank you in the great congregation with the mighty throng, with the peoples, I will praise you. And so praying with people, being seen by people, praising the Lord with people, there's not necessarily an issue with that, but there could be. And this is a point. There's a very big difference to be seen when you pray, okay, or to pray in order to be seen. You see the difference? There's a big difference to be seen lifting your hands to the Lord and expressing worship than to express my worship in a way in order to be seen. Now watch out, I won't do that, I'm not there, but watch out, it comes very subtly. And we're going to unpack it very subtly. Is it okay if people know when you fast? Of course, because sometimes we fast as a whole church together. Is it okay to fast in order to be seen? No, I'm not fasting unto the Lord anymore, I'm fasting unto a different audience. Okay, and this is what Jesus is after here. It's very important that we get that. As a Christian, you will need to have your faith touch the community. Otherwise, you're only getting one part of the faith. It's drawing into God and it's being sent out. But there's a way in which we can present ourselves to the community that is wrong. And that is what Jesus is addressing here. Let's talk about this for a moment. Okay, so Jesus tells the Pharisees they're hypocrites many times. Guys, that is such a slap on their face. Like really, they're deeply insulted. I'll tell you why. The word for hypocrite, we understand it the right way. It's someone who presents themselves in a different way to that of the actual substance and upholding it, hypocrite. Now, the word in Greek is simply the word actor. Now, the Pharisees always saw themselves as more holy and wonderful and presentable than the Greeks and the Romans. But the Greeks and the Romans were the actors. And so what these people would do is they were a festive community. And so they would have a conquering a next door neighbor in some other war. And then it would be the day of the actors. And what the actors would do is they would dress up like the king they defeated and make a mockery from him in the streets. You know, like pretending he's falling all over the place. And then the people will laugh. And then another one will act to be one of their valiant centurions. And he'll come in and save the day. And then they would quickly change the mask to take this role. And everyone will be up in arms. And the Pharisees would say, look at these fools. And then Jesus comes and says, you guys are actors. Deep insult. Because what Jesus is telling them is this, you know, and I want to draw us into this. None of us wants to be hypocrites. And I think it's one of the greatest insults you can give a friend. Okay, try it. And we think of it in the extremes, you know, like you present yourself as this kind of person, but you do that, or you've stole from these people, or you, whatever. But Jesus says the following. He says, if you have a faith that is acted or alive amongst people when they gather, okay, but you don't have the similar faith behind a closed door, then you are an actor. Now that stings. Very, very deep. And that's where Jesus takes the conversation. He sees the people sees you in a way because of how, you know, you might not have a physical mask on. And you know what? It might be that you really are enjoying the worship, the time together, and that the Lord is touching you in worship and you respond with a grateful heart. But if you do not take it behind a closed door, what Jesus is saying is what you are portraying, even with a good heart, good intentions, is not the true substance of who you are. Because when no one is watching, that is not the reality. Now, if that does not pierce deep, then I don't know what. And I've been convicted by this, and I'll tell you why. Because we gather for long times as a congregation. We gather a lot of times together. And when we're together, we sing and we pray for one another. And we exercise our faith on one another. Isn't that true? And I need to ask myself, does my inner room carry the same weight and devotion than when we are publicly together? And as I'm asking that question, so should you. Because that is what the scripture is asking us this morning. Amen. And so it works something like this, and we don't plan to con people, but our hearts slip into this, and it connects to what Butch was saying and praying here in front. If we can get that little image on there, we come into a church community, and we kind of figure out how church works. You're like, you know what you should do in church, right? And so you do it. And you're managing that in front of the people. And then you get invited. Acceptance and approval. People invite you. Oh, I understand. This is a dumb for my hands. I understand this person. He loves the Lord. And so what you figure out is this actually works. Subconsciously. And you enjoy it. But now what happens is the inner room, the secret place, might be a fading ember. But in public, things are working. And so what do? You continue. And you make more friends. And so now this is working. And the secret place diminishes even more. But at church, everything, and you're like, this is a type of faith I can keep up with. And what happens is there becomes a disconnect between how you are experienced in the togetherness and the substance of when you are alone. And because Jesus is a loving Lord that goes for our hearts, He wants the two to be one. Amen? And so He starts and tells the Pharisees, you are hypocrites. You are actors, like the Romans. And they are mad. And He tells them many times. He tells them the actors, they might have been fuming. And so what is He saying to us? He is simply saying to us this, Shofar Hermanus, if you're visiting us, absorb and take from us what you can and take it where you are going. First thing, pray face to face with God. Close the door. When you are nose to nose, there's no space for a mask. You have to take it off. Pray face to face with your God that loves you. And you know what you'll get? You'll get a reward from Him. Now He says, when you practice your faith amongst the people, you'll get a reward there, but you're not going to get a reward from Me. What is this reward? The acceptance of people. When you come face to face with God, what is the reward? Acceptance from God. Choose. Because when you walk out of this place, there's going to be times when the people on this side are going to ask you to act in a different way for their approval. And you're going to be faced with a decision. If the inner room is strong, community will always bend. As the inner room grows weaker, you start to interpreting God through what community wants and likes. Okay? And we see it in churches now. Rewriting doctrines, rewriting the Bible. What has happened? We have come to find our place in front of the face of the people, and now we're rewriting the Bible. Let that not happen here. Amen. When you pray face to face with God, many amazing things happen. Guess, are you guys with me this morning? It's biased still. Don't worry, I've been digesting this for a couple of days. The third commandment, you shall not take the name of your Lord God in vain. For the Lord God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, I know the way it hits our homes from the early days is you see an actor uses the name Jesus on TV, right? You tell the kids now, that's using the Lord's name in vain. And it is one part of it. But it is more than that. The substance of this commandment rings like this. You take the Lord's name in vain. What you mean is I come in his name. Okay, I represent him. Now, if you claim to be in the service of God in front of the people, but you are actually standing in the service of yourself, you're taking his name in vain. Okay? I know the Lord, I worship him, and people start to like you, but what you're actually doing is you are bringing yourself into the community. Okay? And so when my inner room fades away and I start to portray something in the name of the Lord, I am walking, I'm dealing here with the third commandment. I say I am, I look to be, but the substance is not really there. And so what do? We repent of our sins and we turn again to him, face to face. Now, when we connect with him, this is the Iriasi Lachte Masikisi, no? But it is the greatest sermon ever preached. It's the greatest sermon ever preached. It pierces deep. It should. And so if it does not work on our hearts, it's not the greatest sermon ever preached, but it is. And so we're sitting here 2,000 years later, and some of these things that Jesus is saying, you are actors. Just think about Instagram for a moment. I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm on there, but you're putting it up. You're putting it up. You're putting it out to society. And again, it's not sinful, but they didn't even know about that back then. It is more true today than ever before. Isn't that true? Let that which the community see be the true substance of the self. What happens is, you got a coherent person. Okay. Now, when you come to that place of where you are face to face with God behind a closed door, this must be very new and hard if you're new around the faith. Just stick around, okay? You'll find life in it, and God's got you on a journey. The deepest need of a human is to be fully known and deeply loved simultaneously. That's our deepest need. Okay, so some of you have heard, sometimes you'll meet a woman and she'll say something like this. Men likes me when they meet me. They like how I look. But I'm afraid because once they get to know me deeply, they tend to want to turn away. Okay? And so some of us, we've heard that said or we've felt that before. And so what happens with us is we think, okay, so what I'll do is this is how I will manage it. I will present myself there, but I will keep my true self at a distance because if they know, if they see, I will lose my friends. And it's a trap of the enemy because there's one place where you don't have to fear to be fully known. Because he knows you fully, but he still loves you greatly. And so that which we long for when we pitch ourselves here can only truly be found face to face, nose to nose. And Jesus is wanting to lead his people to that place. Where you leave your room and you're like, I can go to my community now fully loved, fully accepted. Amen. That's very liberating. It actually frees you up knowing His love. That's what the gospel does. It creates people with limbs, people with mistakes, that are fully loved. And people would say, where did they get that peace and confidence in front of the Lord? Okay. And so, draw into your secret place and meet him face to face. Masks must fall. So that was the one side. Jesus said, watch out, don't pray like the Pharisees in the synagogues, in the street corners. But Jesus is not to the right or to the left. The kingdom is something different altogether. And then the Gentiles like, ha, like a basha yella. But then he says, do not be like the Gentiles, praying and babbling with many words. He takes no prisoners. You see, his kingdom is of a different world. And he says the following, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And the Pharisees probably just breathes for a moment. Oh, okay. Pressure's off. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. What Jesus is saying here is don't get stuck into prayer formulas. Watch out for prayer formulas. Okay? When I do the formula, then everything is sorted because I prayed the formula. You know, someone told me once before, I will never get in a car accident. I said, yeah, this is South Africa. They said, no, I pray the blood of Jesus over the car. Then I pray the blood of Jesus over the wheels. Then I pray the blood of Jesus over the seats. And then I pray the blood of Jesus over the steering wheel. And I said, what about the gear lever? But the point is, therefore, but just watch out. Watch out, because God is not a window at McDonald's. He's God. He's alive. And so do pray when you travel. But we're not going to manipulate God with our formulas. You know, Islam has it. They have the Basmillah. It means, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most beautiful. And so when they say Basmillah, it means that. And so they would drop the term at different times to invoke that blessing. It's a formula. The Roman Catholics has a formula. It's called the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour and at the hour of our death. What is that? It is a formula, okay? And so when we come together, we pray our formula, and then when you go home, you fall on your formula. What does a formula do? It replaces what? Relationship. Okay. A formula makes an object of God and exchanges a string of words for relationship. We know this. Sometimes we just act weird around God. This is basic stuff. Imagine you come home as a husband and every night your wife greets you with a formula. My man, my beers. Layer van your eyes, he saw your face, and they go on in the evening. Now, the last part I'd like, but the thing is just, that's not how love works. And it's not what Jesus wants to settle for. So firstly, he says, don't use my name to pitch yourself up in society when the substance of it is not real. Come face to face with me. But also when you're there, like, you know, there is a responsibility when we meet together. I've fallen over my words many times, and some of you have laughed at me. It's true. Some pastors have said the words came out wrong, okay? Because you need to be, it would cut food this for a man, sir. You could say something that you didn't mean, but the way that word came out, it seems like you got the doctrine wrong. But you know where you can really pray your heart out? Face to face with God. There's no one there. There's no one there. You can get it wrong. Even if you get the doctrine upside down, yeah, he knows. That's why Romans 8 says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for. So the Spirit intercedes for us on our behalf. Just pray with our heart. pray with an open heart. The Holy Spirit takes your prayers and puts it together before the Father. When we serve at church, it is God's heart, and we want you all to serve somewhere. But we don't want to detach that from a private relationship with the Lord. Otherwise, over time, you're going to start serving for the praises of men. And when they don't acknowledge you, you're going to take a little bit of offense. And your heart's going to become hard over time. And then one day, you're going to list the amount of years that you've attending church. I've attended church 10 years. I've served 8 years. 1,936 mornings. No one has said thank you. You see, what has happened is at one stage, I wanted to serve the Lord, but I transferred from one boss to another. I want now the community to acknowledge my every step. Because you see, what has happened is I've started to live for the community in the synagogue, in the street corners. But face to face with Him heals me from that. Okay. Christians, watch out. For our formulas. Hallelujah. Okay. It's like shouting at random times. Just watch out. Okay. We mean it. Please use all the artillery God gives us. Hallelujah. Hosanna. But let it stay. Keep the blood vessels on it. Let it be alive out of the heart. And let not a formula take the place of relationship. Amen. You know, there's one, even if you make the coffee, these people at the back, they're the angels of the church. I sometimes go back there and I find them making these jugs of coffee. And I'm like, you guys are the engine room of the church, because this church, they cannot get through my sermon if they don't have at least 2 cups of coffee, one at home and one here. So thank you. Now, as much as they are behind the scenes, they're still being seen. You know, the one place you go where no one sees you? Your inner room. No one here knows how much I prayed this week or how little. It's disclosed. I mean, I can get an accountability partner and put a stopwatch and tell them, but it's the one place that's secret. And that's very convicting for a pastor, but for every believer. If we take the time that we have together, is that represented in the secret place, in the quiet place? And Jesus is inviting us to build the secret place bigger. Amen. Pray heart to heart. When you pray heart to heart, relationship eats up formulas. And that's what we want. A heart to heart prayer that gets it all wrong is better than a formula where the words are perfectly right. All right? So go for it. And then, go to the synagogues in the street corners. Then, be a city on a hill. Then go out. Last thing, go into the community and serve where you can now be seen. Not in order to be seen, but where you are seen. That is very important. Where you can go, walk to the ward across and pray for a 91-year-old lady on a bed, not knowing whether she'll make the night. When you could take a meal to a neighbor, not knowing how long they've waited for someone just to knock on that door. We are seen, but not in order to be seen. It's a big difference. He is busy with us. I hope some of you are thinking about those mornings or those evenings and how you used to love it or love it to be alone with the Lord, and how you're going to plan to make that even better, and where you're going to sit and what light you're going to put on. One of my friends here has got a plant in one corner of his office. That's where he sits and reads his Bible. He's created a place. What about you? Let's look at Jesus and then we'll finish. But he would withdraw to a desolate place and pray, or to desolate places, speaking of many times. And I'm like, sometimes it's hard for me to switch off and withdraw because I'm thinking I must answer all your WhatsApps. And you think it of one another as well. But Jesus was the most sought after minister. People waiting in lines, and he still knew how to get to a desolate place and pray to the Father. If he could do it, and we say we are too busy, there's something wrong with us or with our lives. That's very hard to hear, but that's his invitation. Jesus had a bigger workload than you and me. Can we agree on that? And more important. And he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Not only did he withdraw, he was very upfront in his prayer. Like just before the cross, he said, "Father, is there a way I don't see? Is there another way you can maybe make so that I don't have to drink?" What does that speak to? It speaks of heart to heart. "Father, I'm gonna say exactly what I feel at this moment. Like, I don't think I can do this." Obviously, the Father said, "Son, you have to drink this cup," and he gave him the power to do that. And every time when you come to God and you pray honest like that, maybe God will change the situation. Maybe he will change you. But whatever the road is he wants you to take, he'll give you the power to make it. And where is Jesus right now? We can't see him in the community. He's at the Father making intercession for us, praying for us. And there's some of you here and Jesus is praying, "Father, I pray you'll draw that one in. Father, you know that person heard that testimony, draw them in. Father, this person has sinned greatly. My grace can take out that sin in instance. Bring them in also." And so right now, Jesus is doing a similar thing that he wants us to do behind a closed door. Pray. Interceding. How encouraging is that? To think that Jesus is praying for you because he loves you. Let's stand this morning and let's respond with faith to the word of God this morning. You're like, "Come on, stand." We prayed for a couple of groups in the first service, and we're going to pray again. If I can just ask small group leaders, prayer facilitators, quickly come to the front. Let's just create some movement in this place. Faith. Once we've heard the word and the Spirit has spoken and stirred, what we need is faith. And so let's have faith. Let's respond with faith-filled hearts this morning to the Lord. I want to make a couple of invitations. If you're new around here, every now and then we just call people out, because I know that when we don't care what people think and we just walk, there's something that shifts in our spirits as well. And so we want to be known as a house of prayer and a house of faith. Amen. So I want to ask you this morning, let's just close our eyes, and believers, let's just pray in the Spirit for a moment. We honor you, Lord. We honor you in this place. Bring us back to the secret place, Lord. Help us enlarge that place where we are nose to nose, heart to heart with you. And send us out strongly into the world. We honor you. This morning, maybe you are here and you didn't know how much he loves you and that he's praying for you to come home. Come to him, come to faith. Maybe your parents told you about it, or maybe there was a grandma that prayed, but you've never really made the decision yourself. Then I want to tell you, we are here just for you this morning, to love you, to pray with you, to help you cross the line to faith. We want to pray with you this morning. Maybe you've come to faith and you know who he is, and you've started to grow affection for Jesus in your heart, and you sometimes feel it when you sing, but you've never really built your secret place, the place where you read and it's only you and him, and you read the Bible and you pray to him, and you start to see how that feeds you, and then it gets stronger over time. This is something that's kind of foreign to you, and this morning I want to challenge you to take a step of faith, receive prayer to go and build your secret place. Others of us here, we've had that place. We know what it means to spend time with Jesus, and it's been years. We know the lingo. I'm just going to go spend time with Jesus, be close to him. But that place have diminished in your life, and it's a little bit of a vague memory. And the Lord is just calling you back. We want to pray with you this morning, with any person who wants prayer, but specifically those I've touched on right now. And so I want to ask us that we have faith in this place. If you feel that the Lord is calling you, that Jesus is calling you back into relationship, when I say three, just put your hand up very high and say, I'm coming back into relationship with Jesus. One, two, three. Hands up very high. His hands all over this. Thank you for your faith. Just for a moment, just keep that hand up and just feel how free you are, not caring whether there's maybe one or two people seeing, like the Maki Saki. Just keep your hand up there. If you feel that you need to build your inner room again, just put your hand up along with these people very high and say, I commit to build. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for your faith. Return back to that place of intimacy. Don't be shy. I'll sing means of Vadan. Next, Marky. Now I'm going to count to three and ask you to exercise faith and quickly come to the front. I know we don't always like that, but just show the enemy. And let's receive prayer and ministry. One, two, three. Quickly come out if you had your hand in the air for any one of those things. Take that step of faith. Let's give this man a clap and that lady a clap. Yeah. You celebrate faith. We're going to need more facilitators. As you saw, but iemand kan bid kom help. We want to pray with you. Is there anyone else? If there's something else burning on your heart, and maybe it was not a right on topic, but you're like, yeah, but this is something I want to receive prayer for. Quickly come out. We want to pray for you. We're going to be known for prayer in this church and faith. So we're going to move every now and then. Come out, receive prayer, hug one another, help one another. Is there anyone else that needs prayer? We're here. What I want us to do, the rest of us, we've got no spectators in this place. So I want us